Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mitch. I have one question for you.
Sure.
Talking about the coach, because I'm going to defend him. How many people were talking about his lack of coaching ability after the San Jose game Saturday night?
I don't know. I wasn't around on Saturday, so I.
No, but there's
people.
What happened on Monday? I don't know. I don't think there's probably anybody talking about the coaching decisions.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
But people have questioned him from day one.
Well, I know that. But listen, Mitch, I will tell you this straight up. If anybody had any kind of axe to grind with him, it would be me, only because of what transpired in Pittsburgh and the way, and you know how much I thought of that franchise at the time when Ray was running it and what I think of Mario Lemieux. And he didn't end well there. It did not end well for him there, trust me. And
well, I remember having conversations on the air. It was a Hockey Night in Canada game in Toronto that was particularly bad. It was obvious the players had quit. And I remember telling you on the Monday, I went, geez, you know, nothing personal against the guy. We had him here in Montreal for a few years. I like him, okay? I don't know him that well. I like him. But you don't want to see Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby backing up in the neutral zone.
No. And I remember we had... You're right. You could not be more correct. And listen, I'm just telling you, what happened in Pittsburgh with him was wrong. He didn't manage the roster that he had. He's managing this roster that he has in Montreal well. He's singing from the same songbook as the general manager, Marc Bergevin. They've put together a team that responds well to this style of play, and it's working for them.
So the question is, as they, should they, and hopefully become stronger in the ensuing couple of years, does he adjust to the roster?
I hope he has some Alain Vigneault in him, because that's exactly what Alain's done in New York and what he did in Vancouver after Dave Nonis told him. It's great because Gord Miller and Bob McKenzie can speak better to this than I can, only because it involves me, and you never like talking about yourself involved in a situation. But we were out. We used to do six cities in 6 days. We used to cover the Canadian teams when I was there, and we did six cities in 6 days, Bob, Gord, and I. And our last part of our visit was out in Vancouver, and I talked about Alain being coach there, but I also said that if fans think that, you know, Alain's bringing high-wire hockey to Vancouver, they're really mistaken, because it's going to be a trap fest. It's going to be Pat Burns West. That's what it's going to be. And so Dave Nonis called. We were at the airport, and Dave Nonis had seen it, and he called me, and he says, man, that was pretty harsh. I said, that's what he's going to be. And that's what he was. And then, to his credit, Alain Vigneault was able to, Dave Nonis got replaced, and Mike Gillis came in, and Mike said, if you're going to coach that way, you're not going to be my coach. And Alain changed.
More up-tempo.
Absolutely more. And he's coached fantastically well in New York because of that, because that's the roster that he has, and he's adapted to it. And that's why Derek Brassard is better. That's why Derek Stepan is better. That's why Rick Nash is having big numbers. That's why Matt Zuccarello is able to play in the game today. That's why they went out and got Keith Yandle, because he's that kind of a player. That's why they have Dan Boyle. I mean, that's why. So you adjust, hopefully, with the players that you get, and I think that he can do the same thing that Alain Vigneault has done in New York.
You know, first of all, we have to play a fast-paced game. That's our bread and butter. We have to play, as a team, a good checking game. You know, we don't expect to score 4 or 5 goals tonight. And we want to make sure that defensively we're sharp.
On playing the Jets tonight, who, of course, as you know, are in desperation mode, and we'll get back to the Jets in a second. But you mentioned San Jose game, and, you know, I was out of commission, but didn't they play really well? Didn't Antti Niemi keep that score respectable
on
Saturday night?
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We agree.
Okay. Pat Hickey in Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. I know you've only been here for a year and a half now, but can you talk about how the character of the team's changed, the feeling?
I think, so those are interesting choices of words, and I want to be careful with the ones that I picked. I don't know that the character's changed. We've got the same kind of men, a lot of them, but we have some new players in there as well. I think that there is a...
The culture of the team.
Okay. Yeah. How about maybe the focus?
Okay.
Is probably the word.
Well, he's being a gentleman. He's being a gentleman to Claude Noel. That's what he's doing. He's being a gentleman to Claude Noel, who now is being replaced by the Vancouver Giants. That's what he's doing, and that's what coaches do. When you coach in the league, whether you've been an assistant coach or a head coach or both, and Paul Maurice has been both an assistant coach in Hartford and a head coach, obviously, in Hartford and Carolina and Toronto and down in the American League and now obviously in Winnipeg. When you coach in the league, you appreciate what guys go through. And that's why you never want to speculate on guys being fired, and that's why you appreciate what guys did before you, because the circumstances can be different. And eventually you can end up being that guy that somebody's going to talk about. So you'll never hear, you usually will not hear another coach bash another coach or another manager bash another manager. But the one thing that I think has changed there is the power forward stuff and how hard they play on things. Andrew Ladd's always been a good player. That was a great acquisition coming out of Chicago. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion in Carolina and in Chicago. Dustin Byfuglien is a Stanley Cup champion. Really good acquisition by the people in Atlanta at the time before they moved to Winnipeg. Getting Mark Stewart is a character guy. Getting Blake Wheeler is an amazing acquisition. These are not drafted players by that team. These are players that were acquired through transactions. And not by the general manager that's there now, by other people. So,
including Rick Dudley.
Yeah. Well, Rick Dudley was part of it. It's different. It's a different type of deal.
Well, we can get to a hit, we're going to get to a hit. If we can't get to a hit, we don't chase it. We like to think of our size more as an off-containment, being able to hold people off pucks, you know, jumping back on in the short areas rather than chasing guys all over the ice.
Is that the biggest challenge for the Canadiens tonight?
I think it's dealing with their size getting to the net. That's what I think the biggest problem will be for the Canadiens tonight, with the size of the Winnipeg Jets getting in the net. They're going to obviously be in an ornery situation because of what happened to them in Winnipeg in Vancouver the other night when they had a 2-0 lead, and they squandered that and lost 5-2 to Vancouver. They're going to be in a unique situation because for Montreal, they're going to find out what it's like to be on the receiving end of what teams usually have to deal with when they come to Montreal. Winnipeg's a tough place to play. It's really a tough place to play because of the fans. The fans are, it's more of a college atmosphere than it is a pro atmosphere. And I say that with respect because it's just so loud. It's so boisterous. It's so demonstrative. It's hard on you. It's really hard. They challenge you every single shift.
Just based on 20 games here, it's hard to believe the Jets would be in a playoff position right now if Cheveldayoff hadn't pulled the trigger on the deal to bring in Myers and Stafford, because they've been exactly what the team needed, again, over a short period of time.
And remember, one of the guys they traded, Evander Kane, was injured, so they weren't going to have him this year anyway, so that's a great point, Rod. I totally agree. And the thing to me that is exciting is Tyler Myers is now what Tyler Myers should have been. And I don't, again, a lot of stuff happened and it's gone now, but he should have been this player in Buffalo. And I feel terrible for those fans in Buffalo. This should never have happened. He should have been a Buffalo Sabre from start to finish.
Did it make sense to you right off the bat that they slid him right alongside Tobias Enstrom?
Yeah, absolutely. Made total sense.
Pierre, the Canadian shots per game, they're 27th in the league, and the Winnipeg Jets shots allowed per game, they're ninth. So big concerning for the Canadiens.
Why?
That's where I was going. Can you tell us what they do to not allow a lot of shots?
Because they're big, they're physical, and they attack you. They don't sit back, they attack. Part of their problem, and they'd be one of the better teams in the league in terms of shots against, part of their problem is they're one of the most penalized teams in the game. You know, I think on any given day they could be 1, 2, or 3. I think they're 3 right now, if I remember correctly. But they have taken a lot of bad penalties over the course of a season. If they hadn't taken that many, they'd be a lot better. But then part of it is because they're just so darn big and they attack and their cycle game is dominant.
And Dustin Byfuglien is back, and as good as he is, he takes penalties too.
Yes, he does.
Far and away, the most minor penalties in the league, the Winnipeg Jets.
So this would be a good night prior to the playoffs for the Canadiens to get their power play in order, huh?
It would be. it would help a lot. But I will say this, and I for anybody listening in Winnipeg or anybody listening on the internet that's a fan of the Jets, That building is electrifying. It is awesome, and it's one of those places where if they do make the playoffs, that building's going to make a difference in the series. It might not win the series for you, but it can make a lot of difference in the series.
Well, as tough as it is for players to go into Winnipeg and play, it should be a good night for Dale Weiss, who's playing for the first time as a member of the Montreal Canadiens. He's got several family members and friends there. So it's not going to work against Dale Weiss tonight. Shouldn't, anyway.
I would hope not. I mean, you know, again, he's a kid from there, but he played in Swift Current. But I would hope that it wouldn't be an issue for him playing there. It should be fun for him. I think more than anything, this is a great challenge for the Canes in terms of where they are as a group. And that's, I think, exciting. I do. I think that's really exciting. I think it's great that that they get to go into this before. It's a game, yes, it matters for Montreal because they have a chance to clinch. But are the Canes going to be in the playoffs? Yes. Are they going to be in a good spot in the playoffs? You betcha they are.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but this is one of those tests as a coaching staff you want. You want a test like this.
Coming up every Thursday at around 5:45, agent provocateur Alan Walsh, and another reason for the Winnipeg Jets' success of late.
Pavlich.
Yeah.
Yes, and Alan Walsh's client.
That's right. Cool. Ever since he put the new Bruce Springsteen mask on, he hasn't lost.
You know what's funny? And Alan can tell you this. Alan was in Cheska Budějovice and Pilsen when Andrei Pavlich was his draft year. And Canada knocked the Czech Republic out on a goal, a seeing-eye shot, and I think it was from Christopher Letang, off of Guillaume Latendresse's backside that beat Andrei Pavlich in overtime. That put Canada into the gold medal game against Phil Kessel, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, and the rest of the high-flying Americans where the Canadians lost. But Alan Walsh had a lot of clients in those games, I can tell you. I saw him a lot over there in Cheska Budějovice and Pilsen.
Well, that's a long way from
2005. That's a few years ago, Mitch.
That's a long way from Philadelphia, where you were last night, yeah. And the Flyers took care of the Blackhawks rather neatly.
They did. It was kind of discouraging. Not because I was against Philadelphia, but because of the way Chicago kind of brought it. They didn't bring anything. I thought they'd be a lot better in that game because they were not very good the last 40 minutes against Carolina in the previous game that they won 3-1, and they were terrible in Dallas where they lost 4-0 to the Stars, and I thought that they would bring it just a little bit more. Joel Quenneville tried to shake the lines up on more than one or two occasions in the game. They weren't able to do that. I still think Chicago is one of the better teams in the league. I think they're going to be absolutely lethal in the playoffs. But they were really, it was almost like they were like, okay, it's just another night in the league. We're moving on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking because we had that conversation after the Nashville game that Chicago plays Nashville. I think Chicago wins whether it's home or away, and it's almost like they played that way last night. In fact, Corey Crawford made a lot of big saves.
Corey was great. Corey's been great all season long. And I know his family is in Montreal now. They listen a lot to your show. And Corey's been absolutely unbelievable. He's been fantastically good. And so is Scott Darling, by the way. Scott Darling's been really good. So they're in a good spot, but they did not play well last night in front of Corey. They did not.
I bring this up because I saw it on your broadcast last night, and you talk a lot about home and road split. Steve Mason,
on the road,
factoring in shootout and overtime losses, 1-18 on the road. Yep. At home, 14-9.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? That was one of Doc Emmerich's specials last night, bringing those numbers out. So I wanted to say it on the air, but I didn't think it was appropriate, so I'll say it here because I do think it's appropriate on a radio broadcast rather than a game broadcast. Bring his mattress on the road. I mean it.
You're not that superstitious, Pierre, are you?
No.
Come on. What's the craziest thing you've done around something like that?
Well, in the playoffs, the 2 years we won the Cup, I never walked on a crack in a hotel lobby. So try to figure, you know how most of those lobby floors at some of the hotels that NHL teams stay at are usually marble floors?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that. I don't
try to avoid cracks. So you're kind of tiptoeing through the tulips, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know, we
I did that for two straight years.
We chatted with Dan Petrie last night on the show in the final hour. Jeff's former pitcher with the Tigers.
Yep.
Managed by Sparky Anderson, who famously...
The legendary Sparky.
One of the all-time greats.
A big red machine.
Quirky, a little quirky. And every time he went to the mound to change a pitcher, he purposely did not step on the baseline from
chalk.
Home plate on the chalk. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where I got that from, but I refused to walk on a crack in a hotel lobby for two straight years.
So you've got some obsessive compulsive disorder or something,
for
huh?
Sure.
Huh?
I admit that. Absolutely. I always dress with the left side of my body over the, and I still do today. I always put my left sock on first. It's crazy. Silly stuff.
Yes.
It works.
Anything
though.
Else? While we're at it?
Any other confessions, Pierre?
No, everything's good. Can you melt the snow at my golf course?
You're going to have to wait. Is it that nice where you are? Is it because I want to get to the Ottawa Rangers game, but today where you are?
No, it's just raining, but the snow won't go away.
All right. On the scoreboard tonight, prior to the game between the Senators and the Rangers, Eric Carlson and Mark Mathot.
Hey, fans. Eric and Mark here. We want to thank all of you for your support this season. We hear you at each game, and we feel your energy that you bring. But we do have a favor to ask. While you're here at the game, if you could refrain from throwing anything, including hamburgers, on the ice, it would help us win the game.
Nous avons une faveur à demander. Lorsque vous êtes ici au match, pourriez-vous éviter de lancer des objets, incluant des hamburgers, sur la patinoire? Ainsi, cela nous aidera à gagner le match.
Also, we spoke with Curtis. And he has promised to wait until we're off the ice to have his post-game meal.
You know what I would really want to know? I want to know how many takes it took them because they were laughing so hard. I'm curious to know how long it took to get that.
I'll find out. I'll see Carlson and I'll ask him.
So do you think the Rangers, we're going to, you know, we talk about this every start he makes. Is this the one where he finally loses? I mean,
I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. If the Rangers don't bring an angry attitude to this game, I'll be really disappointed. And the reason why, and I said this on Ottawa Radio this morning, the Rangers were not good. They were not good at all against Los Angeles. Now, part of that was L.A. being very good, but that's not the way Alan Vigneault wants to take his team into the playoffs, the way they played against Los Angeles the other night.
Do they miss Marty St. Louis?
Pardon me?
Do they miss Marty St. Louis that much?
Not that game. I mean, that had nothing to do with Marty. They just, as a team, were a meltdown. They weren't very good. They do miss Marty, absolutely. But no, in that game, it wasn't because Marty wasn't there. They were very, very average, below average at best. But I would say for Ottawa, they better be ready tonight. And Andrew Hammond better be very, very ready tonight.
Welcome home, and we will do this again tomorrow.
From Rhode Island tomorrow.
What's in Rhode Island?
What do you think?
There's a hockey tournament going on.
A hockey thing.
Involving a young Maguire.
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you rested up in Turks and Caicos for this very reason, so no sympathy at this end.
I got my playoff schedule.
You're going to be here?
Well, no, not the team yet because nobody knows the matchups, but I'll be busy.
Well, come on. You're going to be here in the playoffs, right?
I sure hope so. But I don't know. They didn't put the games. They just put the teams that I'm on that I'm working.
So how many consecutive nights are you going to be working? Or are you going to pull a Kenny Albert?
Every night.
I'll
be working with Doc Emrick and Kenny Albert every other night. Yeah.
All right. Have a good one tonight, Pierre.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Take care. I'll be looking forward to hearing the results tonight. I'll be watching, though.